Good morning, everybody. Today we have an exceptionally busy House Education Committee, and I apologize for being 30 minutes late. We are gathered in at 8:04 a.m. Co-chair, members of the House Education Committee, President Mark, co-chair Representative Andrew Stewart, Representative Brad Hopkins, Representative Tiffany Sulkowski, co-chair Representative Andy Surrey, if I didn't really say that, I apologize. Representative Mike Crocks, welcome to the House Education Committee, and myself, Representative Harriet Drummond, co-chair. Representative Tuck is excused this morning. We have gone to conduct business before we begin. We need to drill about cell phones. Today, our Court Secretary is Shannon McKinney, and Madison Truitt is our LIR 100 assistant today with tech and teleconferencing support. Thank you both. Today, we have a very busy schedule. Madison will be spending today if you can talk to everybody's comments and all the bills we're going to consider today. First up, we will consider two amendments we received to Representative Kleinman's House Bill 181, Public Schools and Health Education. Afterwards, if it is a vote of the committee, we will move the bill as amended. Please note that the amendments and committee substitute we will be considering on various bills and the only 7 desks in the order and will be taken up. Representative Kleinman, good morning. Would you and your staff like to make any final comments on House Bill 181? All right. Thank you. I will direct for the purposes of discussion. Representative Sulkowski, would you care to explain amendment number 1 to the committee?
Sure. Thank you, Madam Chair. This would create an amendment on page 1, line 7, where all of the word organizations, the incident providers, and regional tribal health organizations. As we see from this draft, there's an incredible number of organizations that are listed by name. South Central Foundation. While the South Central Foundation has been actually awarded a couple of times for their work in tribal health, and they largely serve the engaged South Central tribes, and by adding the words and regional tribal health organizations, it broadens to include recommendations for consultation with the regional tribal health organizations that are actually in the rural aspect, serving on the front lines of mental health and healthcare issues. And so the intention is to not get weighed down by naming out every single regional tribal health organization, but since there are 25 co-signers to the Alaskan Tribal Health Compact, this makes sure that all of them are consulted as part of the legislation.
Thank you, Representative Sulkowski. Back to the all of these tribal compact things are coming together simultaneously in multiple committees across the legislature. I will remove my objection. Are there any further objections? Representative Fox, go ahead. When I read through this, I was thinking about the difference between perception and intention.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So, by adding the words regional tribal health organizations, there's actually no additional legal obligation for establishing any type of tribal status that's not already federally recognized in Alaska. This doesn't seek to add any sort of additional obligation to the state or to those regional tribal health organizations. What it is doing is broadening the umbrella to consult with entities that are already doing their combat health and intimate health service throughout rural Alaska.
That's what I figured. Thank you for saying that. We need to get that
this in my zombie dragon exception thing to adding the tribal health organizations. Then the next thing I was wondering is, should we broaden this? We sort of discussed, should we broaden this out to include some of the state agencies that deal with, if you will, the consequences of mental health issues or changes? Is that included? Is that necessary?
I think not. This is a bill for the education. If the education committee and its director and the Department of Education and the State Board of Education to develop standards for mental health curriculum, I do not disagree that there are downstream impacts, but by adding an emphasis on mental health education, we hope to keep people out of the correction system. And so I do believe that would be appropriate in this particular bill.
And they will somehow have input to that, to notify that this is going on and have input to developing those standards.
Well, that might be a good question for the folks on the line from the Division of Behavioral Health, Ms. Wooden or Ms. Raymond. Did you have any questions for Representative Gregg's right?
Yes, Representative, can you hear me?
I can hear you. Go ahead. But tell us your name. Okay, so do you bring it on the line? Or be sure we have Raymond.
Sure. Representative, my name is
George Aston noted that we haven't made amendments in this committee, at least not recently, so this seems very prolonged. I see the chair of the Judiciary Committee going rocking over there, where there are plenty of amendments to deal with on a regular basis. All right, any further objections? Okay, seeing none, the amendment passed. Amendment number one has been adopted. We will now consider amendment two, Representative Zulkowski. I will object for the purposes of discussion.
This is a federal amendment to modify the requirements of the State Board of Education and Early Development to develop mental health guidelines. Within 2 years after the effective date, we had had some discussion with the legislature around, as well as with the department during our last hearing about how outdated these standards are for optional curriculum. I believe that it's important we establish a design window within which the department can develop guidelines. Recognizing that modernizing the guidelines for mental health curriculum will take time, and we want to ensure that the department has adequate time for stakeholder engagement. We felt that 2 years is a reasonable amount of next window for the department to develop that curriculum while also keeping it a priority in order to get this rolled out into our schools. I also hope in partnership with the sponsors on this that this decreases the department's need to hire an outside contractor to assist in the development of the guidelines.
Thank you, Representative Zulkowski. I remove my objection. Are there any further objections? Seeing none, amendment number two has been adopted. Therefore, all the amendments we have today is a
special account for the Maricula Representative Tansen. This is your last opportunity to comment in this period.
I just wanted to make note that I've talked to a number of teachers in my family and we have some concerns about this. I feel like they've already been tasked with providing education and now they've added on top of that, now they've actually done the mental health, the mental health piece of it. And recognize that we have difficulties in the schools. And my concern is we're adding to the already overburdened teachers. So much on her plate, and to add this piece to it, which is maybe something that the concern I have is when we don't have the training to do this, what are we going to take away from our daily curriculum while we're tending to also mental health needs? So, because I just have heard so enough concerns, and I will be a member of this room.
Thank you, Representative Johnson.
Madam Chair, I am going to share Representative Johnson's concerns. I have heard the same concerns from many teachers that were piling more and more and more on the school system. And I feel like I have to do too much in that, and therefore that affects the quality of the primary role. So I share the same concern. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Johnson.
Thank you. I appreciate the comments that were made just prior. I actually have been concerned about giving an unfunded mandate to our school districts. And I don't know, I've been thinking about this bill. When I look at it, it's telling the departments and all these other agencies to develop guidelines. And we just came over from Zabowski saying, expanded that they could do this. And I know that right now our staff is dealing with mental health issues. Our students are dealing with mental health issues. And so we have the following language is that the department is directed to provide technical assistance to school districts in the development of the curriculum. And then we have to, and we already are dealing with this. I believe our districts already are having this unfunded mandate right now. And they are dealing with this because our students are having mental health issues right now. And so I feel this legislation is very important to go forward, even though we know that we are not funding a career professional development, we are not in this fiscal mode. Funding counselors to be in our school districts, we are really crying out for them. I look at the fiscal note, and I do want some clarification on the fiscal note, because I couldn't understand that the fiscal note was for the departments to put this together, or if it was to hire supports or counselors at the ground level, which we need right now. And so I'm looking for sponsors and
thank you, Representative Story, Representative Clement. You may have to leave you for the question.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Story, the fiscal note is, unfortunately, doesn't have anything to do with hiring counselors in the schools. The fiscal note is right there on the way. Please describe, if I understand it, the first house speaker, we have the department to discuss the fiscal note with the right system. Contractor to provide assistance with development of guidelines, the additional cost of the fiscal note is to provide the travel funding to have two different meetings, Anchorage and the different parties that were involved in developing the guidelines would be able to come to Anchorage and meet and discuss the guidelines. And it wouldn't provide any funding for counselors. And I don't know, we have questions about the necessity of hiring the outside contractor. Guidelines are more than 20 years old, existing guidelines, and probably not up to date on a bunch of other health things that have nothing to do with mental health. And so I'm not sure that this Alex Bauer, Carolyn Telecommunications, I'm not sure that we have to spend money to fly everybody to make those compliance to update the guidelines, but it has nothing to do with cancellation. And I have certainly heard the same thing from schools, but I think for the counselors, they want to have to listen to maybe very different.
Thank you for clarifying. I'm as a representative of Klosky has attempted to handle that by her amendment. And I just am very concerned that we are not. I thought about putting in the increment for counselors in this fiscal bill because of the zoning, and I know that that would slow it down and possibly stop this from happening. I feel really strongly that we need to be up to date in our mental health standards that we are being tested. And so I will be supporting this, knowing that one of the things to do is to make sure we have the best brain science, the best going into our standards right now. Recognizing it's going to take a while, but as it's taking about, we really need to be looking at how we could be providing more hands-on and mandatory students at conference and giving our teachers the best training on adverse childhood conditions and behavioral health. So, thank you.
Thank you, Representative Story. Representative Sokolsky.
Thank you, Lantoya. I just wanted to speak in support of the legislation before we consider moving on the committee today. Just to echo the comments of the bill sponsor in reference to the conversation that we had in our last committee meeting, the department indicated that the framework for health standards at the department need to be updated because, as the sponsor just mentioned, they're more than a couple decades old. I recall voicing my skepticism that the department has to do a wholesale update to all of those health standards in order to address the narrow opportunity that this bill is trying to provide to school districts. I just want to call the committee's attention to the provider from the department that health standards need when possible through the department is our voluntary to school districts. And so, I really kind of lean on the testimony that we heard from an overwhelming number of students across Alaska who said they simply don't have the knowledge and the words to meet their symptoms, that they need the knowledge to identify their own illness. And as we look at addressing the mental and behavioral health crisis that really is at the doorstep of Alaska, we don't have any sort of safety net for our youth, and I find this to be an incredible opportunity to make an optional modern curriculum available to school districts that are already doing this work within the scopes of their school districts right now, because there are students that are coming in often, whether it's through because of their ACE scores or committee after committee, the increase in social emotional learning resources that school districts are putting towards mental health education, that there are students that are coming in crisis. And so for us to be able to provide a very narrow resource that can be made available voluntarily to school districts, I think is something that I'm proud to support.
Would be an ask for sort of holding this to the next meeting. But we're very early on and consider that finance committee the next step for this. There will be discussion. The finance committee on the fiscal note. Impacts of the different bills that we're considering simultaneously in terms of the BSA increase in terms of the Alaska Reads Act. There are so many places where this legislature is moving towards putting a lot more money into our education system because it's been flat funded and not inflation proof for years and years and years. And
that will help. On the other hand, as Amendment Number 2 points out, it gives the department 2 years to develop these standards, and I assume that the standards will not go to the district for at least 2 years. Would that be correct, Mr. Spencer? My goal is to move this out of committee today.
Thank you, sir.
Okay. Any further discussion? Okay, seeing none, I would entertain a motion to move the bill from committee. Representative Story.
I move House Bill 181, Record 31-1146-A, as amended, from committee with individual recommendations and attached fiscal note.
Is there any objection? Seeing an objection, the chair would like to speak to the objection.
As I was stating, I don't know if I think that if you point out the fiscal note, we're not going to do it by saying we think that the fiscal note only speaks to one. It pisses off forever. Something we do, we just watch the one incident as far as having people come in and so on and so forth. So, and I think that any funding is pretty much to what it's actually going to end up being. And again, if we have somebody that are things that they're learning from with education, they're going to add to our own teachers. I just can't get down to think this is the time to do that.
Thank you, Representative Johnson. Any other comments? Before we call them. Okay, seeing none. Will the clerk please call roll? Yes, and 2 days, committee substitute for House Bill 181 passes through committee. From committee. Well, we will now take an ID from all members on the committee report.
Next up, we are considering one amendment we received to Representative Story's House Bill 155, Alaska Performance Scholarship Eligibility. Afterwards, if it is the will of the committee, we will move that bill as amended. Representative Story, would you and your staff like to make any final comments? Oh, I'm sorry. Before we take up the amendment, would you and your staff like to make any final comments on House Bill 155?
The purpose of the bill, of course, is to expand the Alaska Performance Scholarship eligibility to include career and technical education courses. And, of course, APS, the Performance Scholarship, provides financial assistance to many of our young Alaskans, and the purpose is to get career tech and applicants can get financial assistance for it. So,
thank you, Representative Story. Will we consider the amendment, Representative Story? Oh, I apologize.
Just speaking to the general bill, I would like to clarify talking through the method that I think that will help. And so I was just trying to update everybody about the bill's full intention. But good question, I'm going to have to explain that after I move the amendment.
Okay, we will then consider the amendment representative story.
I move the amendment to Record 31-LS0945. /M.1.
I will object for the purposes of discussing and Representative Story and explain the amendment.
Yes, after our meeting last time on making career tech classes available, Representative Clark approached me and brought up the point that he felt that we should expand to a third option. So we would have option A, B, as we had talked about before, and then we A, offering career tech classes, and then looking at this chart right there that is right behind the amendment, I think it'll help explain it. Does anyone have this chart?
So
there is another math and science curriculum. What we had before in the bill was expanded social studies option one on 1 credit per CTE. And then option B was the world language credit could be substituted for curriculum co-education credits with a sequence, a peer sequence. And then what this amendment does, it expands the bill to have an option C, which would be the same in the social studies and language curriculum, except for keeping the world language option, so kids could still take, would have to take the world language, but it would offer social studies adding a 1 year, 2 semester CTE classes. So that way, a person who wanted to take world languages, but still takes in CTE. So when I look at the amendment, what it does, and if you pull out the whole bill, it deletes the over on page 1914, and so then you've got on page 295, following cluster, you insert the or, and then there is the option C, 3 years of mathematics, 4 years of language arts, 3 years of science, 4 years of social studies, 1 year in which may be career and technical education, and 2 years of a foreign language or an Alaska Native language. So it's simply open in a, and giving students more options of the other than CTE.
But then I would note that the amendment, the actual
second call of curriculum. Is that correct? Mark, social studies and language curriculum. Parentheses B and option C. And option C, option C are men's column B. And if you want to print a third call, that would be the list.
I don't know that we would not talk to ED if they thought that the best way to do it would be create this option C. So actually, they will have a new blast of fourth call. It's probably a C column showing that the department is showing their addition. And you could call the department this year. Able to talk about this and add some questions.
Okay, then you can go further.
Go ahead,
Representative Johnson.
I think that what has happened with current technical education is the classes that we have to have more rigor in them, and they do. And that's been a misconception that many of us have felt over the years that our CTE classes are not rigorous and very much how the world has become more technical. With every device that you have at home and going into automotive fields, going into house build, going into our early, rising educators, that is the career technical class right now. You cannot be permitted if you're going to study to be a teacher in high school for taking early educator classes. If you wanted to get home build and move them into being an accountant or an engineer and a four-year college, you could not be, you would not be able to qualify for the last performance scholarship because it doesn't recognize those classes. It doesn't fall into any of these categories. And so we are really responding to the changes that have come about in our current technical education over the years, recognizing the real need and how our schools are expanding their curriculum today to prepare our kids for the careers that we have in Alaska. I'm sorry, I'm going to have to figure. See, I'm getting a bit of APS. It has to be, you have to get a certain score on SAT, ACT, so that takes care of making sure that student is getting the rigor they need in the courses they're taking. And they still have to have a GPA of a certain high level. Of course, the scholarships depend upon their GPA. So I feel that it really does still show that they have rigor in CPS. I mean, CTE really is hands-on learning and adds that element. Doing that makes kids embed the learning even more into their knowledge.
Yes,
in one of our discussions earlier, the department presented on the APS scholarship because they were showing a drop in the number of students that were taking APS were qualifying for it. And also, they were showing at the same time when we looked at the Post Secondary Commission on Education's results, kids were finishing with a degree at a much higher rate if you were an Alaska Performance Scholarship recipient.
And so, part of the idea behind this too is to get more kids to qualify for APS, because those kids are completing and going on to have the skills to work in our jobs that we have in life. And if I remember correctly, and again, the department is here, so they can answer the question, is there are other resources at APS to pay for this? And I do not, at this point, expect a significant jump. And I remember your testimony, either way, my hope is that there will be more and more students qualifying because we have the room within the funds available, and we need these students to be completing and filling our jobs because we have a worker shortage.
No, that's the incentive. So I will point out that on the
second page of the fiscal note, on the analysis, last sentence, it says it is not anticipated at this time that the change would be sufficient to impact annual appropriation needed to fund the APS awards. And I recall, I don't remember if it was Executive Director of UCPE, Stephanie Butler's statement that the number of students that have applied for the APS has declined significantly all of the impacts on education last year. I think it's important to continue the. I do believe that the Higher Education Investment Fund is generating more than adequate revenue to fund the scholarships that will be applied. And if there are too many applicants, then we're going to have different problems, certainly. Any further comments on amendment number one? Representative Cox, go ahead.
It sounds like the intent of this would be to make performance scholarships available, perhaps to even the junior programs as an example that are available. I was involved in saying an example, I was involved in setting up the process technology program quite a few years ago. There were definitely some students interested. Money was an issue. That was a 2-year degree. Is that the intent to help students that are interested in something like that? What's that story?
Well, yes, I don't think the department had to answer that question and to point out all the different options that are available. I think that the time is funny enough. Thank you. It's a good question.
I'm the Division Operation Manager for the Department of Education and to the chair of the House Performance Scholarship is always funded to your colleges for the admissions degree. One of the problems that students run into is with the split there is a CTE track that's available now, but it's only available for students to get a certificate and like to get a 2 or 4 year degree. And so, to get a 2 or 4 year degree.
Okay. I think they're just personal example. I got one when I was in high school. I thought I intended to go to a 4 year college and get a degree. And I was taking the most rigorous academic classes I could qualify for. And then I took a basically a shop class to do both. And turned out that was the class that ended up enabling me to get a very good job. So that endorsed a bit more for the teacher, but definitely a need for that. And also I found over the intervening years that there are needing more academic considerations in technical professions, the need for academic considerations. I certainly support the idea, I think. That was in the details.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Wilkerson. Any further comments on the amendment?
motion to approve by Heather Reilly. Representative Story.
I move House Bill 155-431-0945 by Cashman as amended from committee with individual recommendations and attached several fiscal notes.
Is there any objection? Representative Fox, would you like to speak to your objection?
Yes, ma'am. I see that again, I like to say that I definitely support the concept, but just would like personally to discuss the details of some of the ones that I expect this will pass out last night with me, but I'm going to pass it so that it encourages somebody to come and talk to me.
After this is done.
Okay.
Yes. Thank you, Madam Clerk. I have a vote of 5 yeas and 1 nay. And any substitute for House Bill 155 passes from the committee. We'll now move IDs from members of the subcommittee report.
Calling the House Education Committee back to order. Next up, we have Representative Hopkins's House Bill 136, Public Schools Social and Emotional Learning. In our packets, we have a blank committee substitute to make this in for our adoption. Representative Story. I move that the Education Committee adopt the blank committee substitute for House Bill 136, Work Order 933.
7, backslash U as a working document.
I will object for purposes of discussion. Representative Hopkins, would you please come forward and introduce yourself for the record and walk us through the bill on the staff, as well as the changes in the CS.
Exactly what the hospital 136 does.
The presentation was here for Mark Paulson last year, and defining what aspects of education result in success in life at the school, and what not stones towards the reading or writing or math plays, and what has been considered for success at the school. The most essential individual skills are the strongest indicators for success in life. Additionally, the lack of casual school administrators, less social and emotional needs and their priorities, and in that case, the most basic approach are tied to this issue.
Thank you.
the bill that allows for social emotional learning to be implemented in the school district. So instead of requiring the school district to spend a certain amount of money on social emotional learning, now we are requiring the state, requesting that the state school board put together the standard for social emotional learning so that now school districts can implement it as they see needed. And so it's the removal of quality of learning in the first round and replaces it with a different goal for learning, making sure that they have those knowledge ones.
With the changes explained by Representative Hopkins and myself, I'm going to remove my objection to adopting the CX. Is there any further objection to adopting the committee substitute? Okay, seeing that, the committee substitute has been adopted. And we will now turn to invited testimony on House Bill 136. I'm sure you'll have more to say, Representative Hopkins, and we'll be back to do that for you. We have Colleen Allwood seat. Garrett Davis. Are you on the phone with us, Ms. Davis?
Yeah.
Yes, put your name and affiliation on the record and go ahead and give us your testimony.
Thank you. My name is Garrett Davis, and I am with FCL's lead and coordinator of FCL's scientific measures for secondary and meeting critical metrics. I will begin.
Thank you.
chance for skills that they bring to the workplace. And we know that we'll have a second order process of students that will work in one. So currently we do what the summit has seen. We serve with the health work concerns of our families are seen from projects here. We're very committed to that and have been for several years. And we would like to support anyone to
I think I might have had the pleasure of taking a workshop for you way back when you were doing the aggressive victims and bystander training and to attend school district to provide that. Is that correct?
Yes.
And was that part of the social and emotional learning curriculum at the time? Creatively, our program, and we had that happening about 30 years ago.
words when it comes to this thing. Let's see. So now, is it correct to say that the Anchor School District has a universal standard for these tests and test programs?
We have 15 SEL standards that our board adopted in 2006. And the program that we use, the evidence-based program, they support our 15 standards.
Okay, but those standards are applied to each school within the district. Is that correct?
Yes, we are asking teachers that to enroll using our direct instruction and present and modeling and talking with students that the skills and behavior standards are being used or that are utilized until that our school year.
One question. Individual schools have quite a bit of latitude of how they implement whatever they do to attain the standards.
We have a five-year plan that they could choose what programs they brought on if they were going to launch the foundation work, which the leadership team at our own school that looked at COVID area in policy. And so we can come with that, all of that construction, and then the camp, the construction management, and after 3 years after, all of our schools have a playbook in elementary, and the middle school and high school, they have the other programs that at those grade levels. And so we make a choice of what they could do and how they could do it from what we gave them, so I guess they have their instructions. We also have when the academic planner comes in and within other the talent that the teachers teach. So they can choose the gatherings they do and the optimistic closures that they do, which they know kids need and ask for those best practices for academic learning. And then they can also choose how they engage with them. So within it, they have a choice. The biggest choice is to how they teach the lessons. Which is the same as the math or social studies and our school curriculum areas also.
Thank you, Representative. Thank you, Ms. Davis. Any further questions for Ms. Davis? Seeing that, thank you very much, Ms. Davis, for your testimony this morning. I'm going to go on to Katie Butts. Are you personally in the room or on the phone with us?
Yes.
Thank you
for the record. My name is Katie Bass. I speak on behalf of my friend, Yeah.
are a bus driver in the juvenile school district. Is that correct?
Yeah.
And so you are one of the people that children see first thing in the morning and at the end of the school day. And I really appreciate your perspective. Any questions for the testimony? That's fair. Okay. Thank you, Katie, for testifying this morning and taking time out of your day. From a benefit of both online, I may have confused the amount of testimony with the public testimony, but it's all equally valuable. So we will now go on to Allison Thibault. You're in the room. Welcome. Did I pronounce your name correctly?
You got it.
I've heard that. That's about 7 years of French in junior high school, and college. Thank you.
Our mission says that we are a family conspired upon for learners, and it is a mantra of sorts of which we are deeply proud. When I told my students I was coming to speak to you all today, they told me you and other people, you told them about themselves. And while I don't think that's appropriate, or professional, or necessary, in fact, doing that today, I would like to take a moment to speak to you about in regards to the student of this comment about capturing his heart from what has impacted not only the upper school district, but how I have seen it impact early high school and my students in telling the story of us. Early last November, our school lost a beloved student to suicide. The loss of any year, remember, it was devastating, and this was no exception. So, as I found myself, as an educator, thinking painful young people who know where to live, at the loss of the fourth family member of their graduating class. I stood outside my door, students and shook their hands. I gave high fives, I gave hugs. I hit the bell ring and I walked into my room. I don't know if you've ever walked into a room of completely silent seniors in high school when there's 33 of them. It's not very often. So, I walked in and there were tables and half round tables. Some were giving the room to Natalie and Sam, and some were just sitting and not in the group of their peers being. How do you walk to a room of 33 moving young people? At the high school, we spend every class period sharing good things. We share one good thing about our day or something that's coming up in the lives of us all week. How do we ask this group of children to share a good thing? We never hear loss of their brains. So instead of sharing good things, I ask them what the funny goal to share a good thing. Because if they couldn't share something good, then they at least use their social emotional awareness and the good thing. And we all start to share. Things came up off of the tables, and they looked at their peers, and they listened, and they were grateful for each other. Then the door opened. They went in and came in the room. He was best friends with the woman who took his life 3 years earlier. He hadn't been to class yet that day, he had spent the morning in the library. And he walked into the room. The girl whose turn it was next looked up and said, "I'm so thankful that he's here today." And he did. He stood there next to her. I'm just very grateful for all of you and for this class. After everything, you share their grateful thing. They were all given a paper plate, a safety pin, and a sharpie, and they pinned those safety pins and the plates to their backs, and they went around the room as were expected. They asked to write things that they were grateful for about their peers. They formed what they called on the lines of gratitude, writing things that they were grateful for about their peers on their backs. And the activity was only expected to take 20 minutes, and said this book can only take more time. I wanted to tell it to everybody. So that when they finished that day, they left with a plate full of gratitude for them over their presence and for their lives. I couldn't have gone forward with a lesson that day instead of acknowledging the grateful students. I could have tried to teach a real lesson about academics and English and set those very high expectations that would have been my higher task force. But I also have completely destroyed a relationship that could have been built. And it was from that class that not only did we form a stronger community and family of lifelong heroes, but those students, folks, gave me some of the best work I have ever seen in my 8 years of public high school. Social emotional learning is not an
small thing. It's not something that we do in addition to anything. It's a part of the whole. The foundation for always helping for students to learn. Alaska is a great and beautiful state, and we are also all aware that it is a safe, right, rough, with domestic violence, mental health issues, addiction, and suicide. Our children are the earliest observers and experiences of this trauma, and they come to school every day with this trauma taking part in their minds. Research does reveal that the children with trauma-laden backgrounds are not only at risk for repeating these cycles, but that this trauma literally changes their DNA. As a teacher, I cannot prevent that from ever happening to them. But with social emotional education, with a set of common standards statewide, what I can do is provide them with tools and tools to cope with their trauma and choices that empower them into resilience and give them the foundation that they need to be able to learn. Because they can't learn when all they are thinking about and experiencing is the trauma. As lawmakers every day, we are voting to support or grant funding to address homelessness, addiction, violence, and mental health. I'm not your boss as educators. The tools and standards proven to prevent you from needing to consider those things single-handedly. Children cannot learn when their basic psychological needs are not met. One nationwide study revealed that 51% of children who display behavioral or learning problems have at least score 4 or higher. Alaska has an above-average rate of ACE scores, especially in rural communities. And in the real homes in the big city, who also have supply chain in rural communities, is imperative to statewide success. Having a basic and broad understanding from an inclusive social and emotional education is imperative not only for the big city kids to succeed, but also for the children in every Alaskan community. And while the funds to do this work won't be effective and also necessary, at the very least, moving forward with a common standard set for a new statewide can start this as a real and honest conversation.
Thank you. Expected to have those tools and have those standards expected of me. I have had to do my own trainings. I've gone and taken classes. I've paid out of pocket. I've done my own research very heavily. So I did do all that pain, and I'm not sure everybody else did. But you have to address that as well before they can go on. We have to talk about where we're going, what happened, how did you feel about it before we can move forward. After that, it's that need to assess what they've been through, that trauma of that event. But I assess where they're at with their trauma all the time. I mean, I have 24 students, and I have been the best classes I've ever had. And they still have needs. So even in your best class, you have needs. And it's upon you as a teacher to bring them at the door and meet them where they are and take them where they need to be. So I've done the same research as I was. Different committees, but what's interesting to me is as we talk about adult problems and we're talking about how to break these cycles, the best place to do that is in schools with kids, and I'd like to mention them early. And I can inform positive about relationships, that I can heal some of that trauma that they've been through. I can get them to a point where they can communicate about it. But I'm not a trained psychologist and I'm not a counselor, but I am asked to do those things on the daily. I would love for all my classes to be filled with these learners that be resilient and kind and successful in regards to ICL. But in order to do that, I have to incorporate it into everything. It's with every lesson, but it's in between. It's how I communicate with my students. For me, ICL does make that meaning. It makes the true engagement impossible. It makes me get after my kids, and it makes this job feel possible. Sometimes that plate is super small, like Representative Johnson has alluded to, and I appreciate a skill makes my purpose the forefront, and it makes my connection with the kids my priority. So I love that very senior that I had in my student. He came to me straight from birth to Texas at North Star Mental Hospital. He was a first grader. He was not allowed to go into the upper room because they had butterflies in it. Otherwise, he would have been escalated to that level. He came straight to me at a non-title school, so a lot of good support, in a neighborhood classroom. I was training as young as I personally saw after those courses and included myself in those learnings, but I would always be advocating for more training for all teachers in that area. I would love to tell you he was very successful in my class to the extent he was. Also, I didn't know any of the places after several months that included a one-on-one study. If Josh ever weekly requiring room clearance, he struggled in breaks, he's physical with me and other staff members on the regular. But I like that time, and I will forever check on him. And as you know, however, that my classroom called safe and living at all times. And even though there was hard days, my other students, they were able to have an amazing outlook on it. They were still playing with him on the playground, and they were taking those hard circumstances, those room clears, and they were able to have conversations about them, repair relationships, and maintain their success. I have been trained on my own, some through the district, thankfully, some through summer academy classes, some through my own learning. All teachers should be trained in the same way because their plates are overflowing. Asking them to do more with less and how magically we train ourselves in these things that are important to us because we know it makes it possible for the learning to occur. Within the education, you can't do the bloom stuff, that higher level learning, without addressing the Maslow stuff, which is feeling safe at school. Kids don't care how much I know or how much I want to teach them unless I'm willing to tell them that I care. I support the Bloom 36 and bringing more training and goals and SEL practices to schools because it is the only thing that makes a difference in what I do. And thank you, Health Education Committee, for inviting me here from my perspective.
Thank you so much, Ms. Dunham. And I appreciate your kindergarten representative letting you go. I will take the privilege of the chair on the first question. When you're teaching that classroom of kindergartners, are they beyond the day and the fears? What happened?
I was teaching third grade that year, and thankfully, some of them started. We all teach all the books above me in the mornings and in the afternoon, and so we were in our classroom, and that fire hit was hit pretty hard. Thank God it came through there, so we had about 30 kids. And I will say that we had $1.5 put into our school on one weekend.
kindergarten classroom school, where you deserve an eighth of my autistic students will find out some of my skills, some special needs students. And so I think we need our own school to be fixed and our task appropriately. We now have option programs in the river. So we have their four classrooms, which has worked out really well with our school. Hopefully they get their home school back because having that school family turn parenting, they've been through a lot of trauma just as a school. The fact that they've been divided into three elementary schools for multiple years is really hard for them to deal with.
Thank you. Any further questions? Representative Brooks.
This is Dr. Patrick. Thank you for coming down on that. Thought that the best way to reduce weight would be to pass a law to force people to eat ice cream. And that's one of my concerns right now with this bill, with what you're trying to accomplish with the bill, is that it's a great idea. There's no question about it that it's a great idea. But I'm wondering if telling people to do that has an adverse reaction.
I tend to be more positive person about things for them. The teachings on people give me standards that find what I can use them for. I will say Lake School District does have the standards that you talked about. I'm kind of off if we can post them out to you if we have a hard copy. But oftentimes with academic freedom has been challenged in the past where we've advocated for contracts and things. There has been those SEL standards that are already there that allowed me to maintain some sort of academic freedom while I teach, because I can always go back to, well, I chose to do it collaboratively because I work in my social and learning skills, which are part of my district standards. Or I chose to do this stuff with my kids because we need to be more self-aware and work on self-regulation skills. So when it has come to a really hard spot, in those parts right there where they're not wanting more academic freedom to be the shooting, I feel like it's given me more freedom in a sense when I can go back and say, they asked me to do these two. And yes, I'm teaching math and yes, I'm teaching reading. But I need to do it in a way that I can also turn these off as well. And so for me, these have safeguarded my kids and their social emotional learning skills because I've been able to rely on that being a part of my district. Mm-hmm. So when they're asking me to teach them, they have to somehow allow me to do that. Whether that's exactly the way that they are asking at the time, there are ways that at least I have something that supports that. So it's providing for more learning in some instances. But teachers are not always, like you said, some people are really resistant to it. I have some that start on the formula and stuff. Maybe you can do more classes there in the school arena and have plenty of otherwise, and I think it's apparent which ones are implementing this kind of thing that comes apart, and that would be up for our leadership discussion and then how they wanted to move forward with those people not willing to do it.
Makes sense.
Thank
you. And I would like to speak to Representative Lovell Pelham and introduce today.
I can tell you that we have
Representative Hawkins here, that is certainly a strong question. That fraud would be a little bit like a collection of the family, but we keep on moving in the direction of identifying what that looks like in the classroom specifically. There is a fair bit of social and emotional learning and professional development going on around the state as it is. And the last effect of the network of the Arts Council School Administrators held a professional development training up to last semester. And there were 500 teachers around the state who attended. When I talked to new, especially new educators, so people in the first 5 years teaching, then one of them, they want all this training and support and standards within social and emotional learning. And when I wanted to get teachers to pay attention on the whole and to make sure that the training that the professional development that the educators need and the levels of that instructors in front of staff and that was not able to standard as we need. Presenter for me was working to say they saw patent excellence, but that moving in from strong value performance was in those classes and how the students were growing and training as they were learning to. They didn't want to have pockets of all those anymore to expand the standards and decisions that they can start getting more between all of the teachers, making sure that they're all aware of the same page and the same language, which is why standards are so important.
At the current level, I don't think that there's enough management taught at the university level or social and emotional learning, and both can go hand in hand. So I would say that's something I'm bringing up.
Yes, sir. School districts understanding the standards of social and emotional learning. There is, and it leads back to that center panel was covered. I think it would be great to have any standards that exist for Bainbridge and probably Fairbanks to use in the next year school district. So, as Ms. Davis said earlier, Anchorage standards were approved by their school board in 2006. So it's been in our system for quite some time. I have one more invited testifier, Heather Coolahan. Are you in the room? Yes, go forward. I will speak by walking with your name and affiliation on the record and give us your testimony.
Thank you so much for the invitation. My name is Heather Coolahan. I'm with the Association of Alaska School Boards. I'm the social emotional learning coordinator. So, thank you so much for mentioning that in part that under the Maxi standards. But to also say that SIPA school district has standards that you can find on their website. And I appreciate that they're here because they give us a sense of really what are the skills that we're talking about here that are so important both in school, being successful in school. Successful in life. We work at the Association of Alaska School Boards with many school districts across the state, and we have found that school districts are able to look at these standards and then in consultation with their communities, their school community, their families, their community as a whole, have conversations about what these skills look like in our community and how we want to be teaching and school. So that's one thing that I really value about standards is that it opens conversations with the community and with families so that it can be tailored to what's important in each specific community and how school can reflect what's important in community. So we get to bring forth that piece of social and emotional learning as well.
Thank you. Thank you.
the testimony, and it may have included a couple of public testifiers, but I will now open up the bill for public testimony. There appears to be no one on the phone for public testimony. Is there anyone in the room who wishes to testify briefly on this bill? Okay, seeing none. I will hold close public testimony. We will continue to hear this, bill. And hearing no further testimony here, I want to hold this bill. Next up, we have Representative Tarr's House Bill 260, State Education Policy, Early Childhood. Welcome. I'm going to read the today. There are new materials for Representative Tarr's bill.
Thank you so much for the opportunity to present to you this morning. And I know that's that you just received it from 16 before, but I'm going to refer to you this way. I'm really excited to be able to share with you the journey that brings me here to you today. As someone who's been teaching for over 20 years, I have a strong interest in education policy. And there's two things that really inform the work that I do in the legislature when it relates to education policy. I know that our educators are under tremendous pressure with a lot of resources while continually being asked to do more and more. I also know that there are allies and overcoming some of our public societal challenges in partnership with families in our communities. Now, I know you've talked about trauma in this meeting, and I know those trauma experiences, but I don't know if you've talked about the school leaders at grade 9, and that is what began my journey with House Bill 260. In the summer of 2013, I first learned about the school leaders at grade 9, which is the research that demonstrates that our discussion and expulsion policies related to participation in our criminal justice system, because it turns out our punitive policies were having limited consequences and they weren't improving behaviors or academic performance. And that began to explore what policies could use as alternatives, and that led me to learn about similar practices. As I learned about these practices, I learned that they're part of a bigger overarching effort of being trauma-informed or trauma-engaged education. Now that our educators have been asked to do more and more with so much budget uncertainty over the last several years, I wanted to approach any new policy mandate with caution. When I began working on this, we were still learning in Arizona and Arizona, and I wanted to give time to do that first. So instead of reading the bill a few years ago, I began hosting our Restorative Justice Summit. And that was to work with educators across the state to explore these topics and get feedback. To date, we've hosted four of these summits, and we now work with educators from Anchorage, Palmer, Wasilla, Fairbanks, Valdez, Palmer, Sitka, Juneau, Bethel, Quebec, Chignik, and Greenock. It's been totally awesome. Throughout this work, we've been talking about restorative practices, what trauma-informed policies look like, what resources we need to implement trauma-informed policies, and what training educators we need to do this. Our educators care so deeply about our students and always want to do their best for them. This year, we came to a new place together. At the end of the summit, as we discussed legislation to implement trauma-informed policies, the educators told me, yes, we are ready. It is with their support and their blessing that I bring this bill to you today. The language is simple but meaningful. This is why I consider the first bill to implement a statewide policy on trauma-informed education policy. This legislation has language directly into the statute for education policy, and at this time, it's a very brief statute. I think if you didn't have a chance to look at it at this time, just a few sentences, and so these brief sentences would also be added to that. But it's a huge statement of recognition. This means that we'll inform our thinking and allow us to develop policy that is truly responsive to the needs of today's students. Your district wrote testimony about the need for social emotional learning, also a component of trauma-informed education policy. From my 20 years of teaching, I've missed to share stories just like the ones you heard from the educators that came before me. And so, that brings me to this place to bring this bill before you, and I hope we'll receive favorable consideration. The two handouts that I passed out are two additional ones that we've
students. And the second one talks about the cost. And just the cost, the $228,000 estimated lifetime cost for a last curriculum kind of using the grant. So at this time, we were really trying to look for how do we make lasting change in our budget, systemic change that will reduce costs. Think these are huge opportunities. And I know as people before we talk about having a higher use of these things, I think you're all familiar with that because we've been spending a lot of time about that, talking about that more recently. So I don't want to take any more time. I'm sure I have a couple of people to call in. But it's just this one statement here, but it will be so meaningful in terms of what it means for how we think about our education policy. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Representative Tarr. And you're right, well, I would like to allow the invited testimony for us since we've all been waiting. First up, we have Mr. Carter Storrs in Anchorage on the phone. How are you with us?
Yes, good morning. Can you hear me?
We can hear you loud and clear. You know the call. Go ahead.
I'm Director Trevor Storrs, President and CEO of the Alaska Children's Trust. Thank you all for playing the tech flag today on HB 216. The question about the budget for your leadership and raising awareness and understanding of ACEs and your commitment to serving our children and families. As a statewide leader in the prevention of television and grant for an important HB 260, we support this policy that takes steps to better prepare our children to become productive, compassionate, and healthy members of society. Educating them through our minds, targets, and teaching. In the work of our Master Health Award, the Department of Health and Health Services, and many partners across the state, we know 2 out of 3 Alaskan adults have an ACE score of 1 or more. ACEs cause a constant level of stress, not only manageable stress, disrupts normal brain development, and can lead to great learning social, emotional, and cognitive impairments. Too many experience adversities like childish neglect, racism, exposure to domestic violence, fear of denial, and so many more other issues are more likely to have poor social performance, not graduate, poor absenteeism, and behavioral challenges in the school environment. The best way to help children deal with trauma is by closing resilience factors and creating good relationships with competent caregivers, social and emotional health, and social connections. SB 260 is a key step forward in promoting our educational system to be in the right department for the minds. Act supported similar efforts to incorporate this language into the policies. Policies of the Department of Health and Social Services just a couple of years ago, which we have started to see change. Fully improved care and teaching is widely recognized among our educators as an essential component of quality education. A recent survey of the NEA Alaskan members and teachers showed that the greatest need for professional development is learning more about ACEs and trauma and the instruction regarding how to help students who have experienced trauma. Our Alaska Education of Challenge Report released in 2019 also recommended that Alaska schools create a culturally responsive, safe environment that recognizes the need of the whole child and teaches trauma-informed practices and emphasizes building relationships. SB 260 would help us achieve both of these. Again, thank you to the legislature for your efforts to incorporate this evidence-based research into our children's schooling. Together, we can work to ensure all Alaska's children are given the tools to succeed. And again, thank you for this opportunity and available for questions as needed.
Thank you. Appreciate your testimony this morning. Any questions for Mr. Storrs? Representative Fox, go ahead.
Thank you, Chair. Again, Madam Klein,
as much as we can quickly end that, Mr. Storrs is always available. You will get to meet with us both.
Thank you.
Any further questions? Seeing no further questions, thank you, Chair, for calling in today. Tim Parker is in the room. He could confirm, please.
Very excited to be back there after next year. especially about student learning. We hear people about that all the time. It's really it's the why. Why do we do what we do? We do it because we like to make sure things happen in every single classroom. This is an easy build to support for us. Educators around the state are right with it. It's a policy change, and it's been drawing in line with Alaska's Education Challenge, which was just mentioned. You're familiar with the SWOTs, the famous three zones right there, that were built 3 years ago. One of the most important pieces about the three zones is that the safety of all living on the blue swirl right here certainly became one of the top three. I think as an educator for multiple decades, it's always been about something we call it's not about. As our Jewish Jewish Davian, Allison, said, it's not one year after the other, but it is the point. And it is nice that you are actually acknowledging all the point and talking about it a little bit more deeply. I had distributed from the committee one of our favorite charts, which actually goes right in line with some of the previous testimony. This is a combination of both Maslow's and Bloom's, two of the basic philosophies that are in their practice and that are embedded in every educator during their training. And it takes the two and puts them together into one. And also combines it with the colors of the challenge. So if you're putting it together in a really powerful way, I think for educators, if we look at our role and what we're trying to do, we've always thought about Bloom's and the learning aspects that we care so much about. Happens, and it does really love it. But we really can't get to that until we address the items of Maslow's and their staff and at the bottom of this particular thing. But it's really a powerful testimony of Abby and Allison that lets you know that's what we're talking about building in the second students who want to enter the classroom. That's what we're assessing. If you can get through whatever, if there are, if there is trauma, you must address it. If there's trauma, you must address it. If there's safety issues, you have to. Forget those and then try to get the learning because learning will happen. So it's pretty basic for us, and I appreciate this bill and standing support.
Thank you, Mr. Carter. Well, I really appreciate how all three bills that we have addressed today, the three out of the four that we have addressed today, are all in writing. I was wrong about them all. But I think it's been true education. To bring this concept to speed. The Alaska Education Challenge, I've got the swirls on the wall in my office room, and I know it's in a phone book somewhere, I just can't find it, it's going to be step two. Any questions for Mr. Carter? Representative Drexler?
Madam Chair, you almost asked the question that we've been asking. This seems to be very close to the previous vote that we considered. And if this, going forward,
We'll have more time to discuss as we will take up this bill again. We don't really have time for public testimony today. I'm not sure if there's anybody in the room. It was not my intent to do public testimony today. We're just out of time. We will continue this. Monday or Wednesday of next week. And I see no further invited testimony at this time. I'm going to hold this bill. And our next meeting will be Monday, March 2nd at 8 a.m. We have three bills previously heard on the schedule. And that includes this one and Representative Hopkins' bill. And we moved on the first two bills to